Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Tuesday is Golden Oldie Day here at Offbeat Oregon, which means I'll be reading from one of the very first Offbeat Oregon columns I wrote back in 2009. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. This is a story about a fellow who brought home a bomb in his glove box. Didn't really apparently think too much about it until he'd gotten back. Civilian volunteers retrieving the debris from a Japanese submarine-launched seaplane bombing of the forest near Brookings came across an intact, unexploded bomb. Only later did they realize how lucky they were that it was actually a dud. This story was first published way back on July 10th of 2009. Here it comes. In September 1942, a tiny Japanese seaplane launched from a submarine conducted the only air raid on the mainland U.S. in history. And but for the intervention of some good luck, it might have succeeded in killing three Oregonians. Pilot Nobuo Fujita hadn't planned to kill anybody directly. He was flying a tiny rickety seaplane that a kid with a .22 rifle could have shot down. His goal was to set the great Oregon forests alight and then get back to the submarine alive. So very early on the morning of September 9th, avoiding human eyes as much as possible, the tiny plane buzzed over Brookings, found a nice woodsy spot around nearby Mount Emily, dropped a pair of 170-pound incendiaries on it, and scurried back to the sub. A few days later, it came back on a second run near Cape Blanco. Fortunately for nearby residents, the fire season had largely ended by that time, and the fires Fujita lit were quickly stamped out. The fact that everything was still soaked with morning dew helped as well. Every Oregon logger knows you're a lot less likely to have trouble with fire at 6:24 a.m. than, say, 4 p.m. But it was in the process of cleaning up after the second bombing run that the Japanese came closest to claiming a trio of victims. An Oregon Department of Forestry engineer named Lewis Amort happened to be in the area with two co-workers when he heard the report of the bombing, and they hurried to the scene, presumably in a crummy, to help. One of the bombs had failed to explode. Bits of the other were scattered all over the place. The three of them immediately got busy picking up bits of bomb to turn over to the Army. Speaking 48 years later to Salem Statesman Journal reporter Hank Ahrens, Amort said they, quote, picked them up and put them in a paper sack or wrapped them in a blanket and put them in the glove box. Amort told local historian and Brookings bombing expert Bill McCash that this included bits of unexploded bomb, 3 inches in diameter and 10 to 12 inches long. Whatever Amort and his colleagues were driving must have had an unusually large glove box. Then they drove through the very bumpy terrain around the bomb site all the way back to town, where they turned over the bits of unexploded TNT to an Army liaison officer. Presumably the Army officer handled them with greater care than Amort and his friends, who only afterward realized what an enormous risk they'd taken by stuffing a live firebomb in their glove compartment. That's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I do hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, an active Facebook page, a handy Twitter feed, and lots of other resources which you can explore by mousing over the row of little square badges that you'll find at the top of our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com. Visuals that go with today's show can be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Our next show will be coming your way around 6 a.m. Wednesday morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.